Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And our topic today is the secret history of the Jesuits. So that's going to be a very interesting topic. And I'll be bringing my guest on, James Sundquist. Hi, James.
Susan, how are you?
Good.
I apologize. I haven't listened to your second song, but I wrote it down right now to remind me to do, so I will do that.
Okay. I thought you might enjoy the guitar.
You've got a great guitar player on your other piece, too.
Yeah. Rod Demers, a friend of mine from Bradenton, Florida. Yeah, he's terrific. He did a real nice job on Blessed Be the Name of the Lord, too, so...
I'm going to grab 30 seconds to have liquid for my throat.
Okay, I'll invite people to the website and to the YouTube. Anyway, if you want to go to our Prophetic News TV on YouTube, we have some videos up there. I'm still in the process of putting my YouTube channel back together. And so if you want to go to YouTube, it's Prophetic News TV is the name of our new channel. And also we have a website, propheticnews.com. There's some great articles there. Also, the radio broadcast is archived, so you can listen to some of the programs. But we're supposed to have Paul Jacobson on today. I'm still hoping that he'll join us for this program, because he's also very, very well informed about the Jesuits. And did you know that the Jesuits are a military organization inside the Catholic Church? I don't know if some of you listening are aware of that. It looks like a nice bunch of people with a nice name like the Jesuits. It's the Society for Jesus, or the Society of Jesus, but I doubt seriously that they really know the real Jesus Christ. People that really know the real Jesus Christ, they don't kill people and do undercover work for their government, which is their government is the Vatican. And so it is... Basically, it's really a secret organization. I don't think people know the extent of what the Jesuits do, actually, and who they are. But anyway. Okay, James, are you ready?
Yes, I am. I was, we'll make a commendation for Paul in any case, whether he's here or not.
Yeah. I was hoping he would call in. You know, if for any of the listeners out there, some listeners that, especially people that are going through divorces, it's always important to try to be civil to each other and remember that you are Christians first and foremost. So it's very sad when families break up, but... Anyway, we want to remember our friend Paul Jacobson in prayer today. So, James, our topic the secret history of the Jesuits, and also I know that one of the emails you sent me about them being jihadists. So could you explain that, what you meant by that?
Well, the I was struck by the parallel in the oath that is taken by Jesuits that's available online, and a host of websites have it published. It's not a secret. It's a secret organization in the sense that they're not going to tip their hat everything that they are doing. My friend Dusty Peterson, who wrote two books exposing the Alpha Course in England, he's got much research on this. And so just a little preface as to the Jesuits are definitely an order within the Roman Catholic Church, and there's a number of orders, Benedictine, and my colleague, Richard Bennett, was was in another order, not the Jesuits, and he was a Roman Catholic priest for 20-some years, and then he converted to Christianity. Some would say, well, that's an oxymoron, isn't Roman Catholic Christianity? But he's definitely...
He got born again. I don't personally believe that the Catholic Church is a Christian church, so...
Did we have a guest? I think you had a guest who was a former Catholic, but...
I was, too.
You were, too.
But I got out of it when I was 12, but I was still in Catholic school. I was in Catholic school for 7 years.
And, you know, we all have lots of friends and people we've worked with that are Roman Catholic, and I'm not any of them. Some of them will probably lay their life down for me, so I want to be very careful to articulate that point. But nevertheless, and just the same would apply to Muslims. There's a lot of Muslims that are, most of whom I run into are friendly. I open the door for them at the shopping center, and they do the same for me, probably. And nevertheless, you have to go by the documents that are their foundation principles as well as what they adhere to, and to the measure how literally they interpret those and, in fact, execute the orders. And so I had read the order from the Jesuit order, what they have to swear to do, years ago, but I hadn't read it in relationship to and comparing it to the what jihadists are sworn to do. Now, they sometimes swear oaths to a given brotherhood, like Muslim Brotherhood, or they swear allegiance just in general to the jihadist cause, if you would, of... And because all Muslims aren't jihadists, but nevertheless, jihad is a holy war that they're in. And let's face it, if we're Christians, we're in a war too. And Paul himself says we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. So it's no secret that it's a war, but who we war against. But when Jesus Christ returns, it's also going to be another literal war. I mean, blood being shed, not just ideas being combated, if you would. But right now, we're in the age of grace, and that our means of persuasion, even though many in the name of Jesus executed many people if they didn't convert or they tortured them, there's no mandate or command throughout Scripture to do that, except in the very isolated context of the Israelites taking over the Promised Land, where they were actually God gave a command to go in and slay every last woman, man, woman, and child in the land of Canaan, and to get rid of the Canaanites, all the ites, if you would. But that was a specific command for a very specific time period, only applied to the land of Israel, not the rest of the earth, and it was not a permanent command. And of course, Jesus Christ said when the servant's ear was cut off, that if he who lives by the sword dies by the sword. So
yeah,
for this present age, the Christians do not operate by the sword.
Right.
Except to the extent that it's used in obeying the laws of the land. We have police officers, we have the military, and in the case of, say, World War II, that the Christians would, there is a time to fight. Dr. Robert Moy wrote a great book on when is it right to fight. So there's a certain measure of self-defense, and, of course, back in the Crusades, they were defending Europe. They battled more. There was a battle there that saved Europe from, or Islam would be, Europe would be an Islamic caliphate continent today if it weren't for that. So, but that's primarily in self-defense. There's not a mandate for us to go out and, you know, with weapons and guns and, bows and arrows or whatever.
Yeah, defend the faith.
So that being said, now the Roman Catholic Church effectively goes back to approximately 1500 years. The Jesuit order is not that old, and this idea of the Inquisition and torturing if people didn't repent or become Roman Catholic, or if they didn't swear allegiance to the Pope and they're burned at the stake. You know, we have the whole Reformation. That's at the heart of that. And when that started, did not start with the Jesuits. There was a couple of other orders that got it rolling. But the Jesuits under Ignatius Loyola, he's the one that's famous for the Jesuits.
Yeah.
And we've heard of Loyola University.
Right.
Basketball tournaments all the time there. They're well known there, and there's hospitals named after them. And Loyola's basically was the, if you would, if there's such a thing as the Himmler for the Roman Catholic Church.
Yeah,
that's who
that's
Loyola was.
That's
not in dispute. That's not just, you know, me spouting off some kind of an opinion. That's all documented. There's hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people that were killed under his authority.
Oh, yes.
If not directly under his, as being the general. And so that order was founded around, I think it was in 1534. So you're going back, well, this is just approximate numbers, Susan, approximately 1,000 years after the Roman Catholic Church was even launched. And, of course, we know the Reformation wasn't until right toward the end of the Middle Ages. So
yes.
Talking 1,000 years that, well, of course, 1,500 years that the church was founded, and another 1,500 years after that before you have this, the Catholic Church going into high gear in terms of the deaths. If you were to chart, have a graph of the millions that were killed, you would not see, unless you want to argue that those that were killed throughout the Crusades. But even all those that died in the Crusades, the numbers, they're pale by comparison to what went on as time went along. We're getting into
the Inquisition. For people that would like to know more about the Inquisition, you can read Fox's Book of Martyrs. There are several good books that have been written about people's testimonies of actually witnessing the slaughter of people for the only reason that they did not join the Catholic Church. That's why they were murdered. So the Catholic Church tried to cover it up. Years ago, they even denied it.
Well, I'd always thought, and I imagine if you were to say, well, that was the Inquisition, the Roman Catholic Church and the Jesuits are harmless today. They're tame. Well, they may be in certain quarters, but if you there's statistics out there by these reputed organizations, and I've got in an article that I've been threatening to release for several years now on Leonard Sweet, who promotes a number of Jesuits in his writings and things, and we'll get to that later on that front. But back to your initial question, as to this oath, that you have to take. I thought we could actually read it. Do you
okay.
want me to read it, or would
yeah.
you? Okay, let me just pull it up. I had it here 1 second ago, and now it's vanished. Give me 1 second here. While we're, I'm locating it again.
Now, this is actually the actual oath that James is going to read that the Jesuits have to take. So you'll be very surprised, I think, when you hear this oath.
And
a little
yeah,
shocking.
And while I'm pulling this up, and I challenge anybody to even ask if they know Roman Catholic priests or they know anyone in the church, and they really they think perhaps that that's made up. Or it's somebody wanting to get upset at the Jesuits, or they have some personal beef to, or something, then I challenge them to go read this oath. And you asked an earlier question, okay, just about have it here, about what struck me this time about the oath that I saw such a parallel with Islam. And
yeah,
now Islam
yeah, very
doesn't have
similar.
A separate oath like this as such, but what they do have, and not that they haven't sworn brotherhood oaths and they haven't done that too, but at least in the Hadith supporting this and the Quran, but the fundamental documents of the Quran and the Hadiths have orders written all the way throughout, and of course the Quran is their scripture, and then you have the Hadith that is basically authentic, and they are followed at second in line in authority, if you would, to the actual Quran. But you see written all the way through about going out and slaying the infidel and
yes.
et cetera. And those scriptures have been from the Quran and the Hadith have been read through the media. We've worn them out. And so that isn't news. But what struck me about the Jesuit oath is how parallel the oaths and the commands were that they are sworn to follow if they are truly going to be jihadist. And that's why I made the statement. I said, you know, the Jesuit oath is basically a jihadist oath, except it's for Roman Catholicism instead of Islam.
Yeah.
So here is the Jesuit oath, and I'm going to read it word for word. I have it in red here.
Okay.
I furthermore promise and declare that I will, when opportunity present, make and wage relentless war, secretly or openly, against all heretics, Protestants and liberals, as I am directed to do, to extirpate and exterminate them from the face of the whole earth, that I will spare neither age, sex, or condition, and that I will hang, waste, boil, flail, strangle, and bury alive these infamous heretics, rip up the stomachs and wombs of their women, and crush their infants' heads against the walls, in order to annihilate forever their execrable race. That when the same cannot be done openly, I will secretly use the poisoned cup, the strangulated cord, the steel of the poignard, or the leaden bullet, regardless of the honor, rank, dignity, or authority of the person or persons. Whatever may be their condition in life, either public or private, as I at any time may be directed to do so by any agent of the Pope or superior of the Brotherhood of the Holy Faith of the Society of Jesus, which is another, Society of Jesus is another name for the Jesuits.
Yes.
Now, just except for a couple words substituted, how is that any different than Islam, Susan?
It's not. But it's there was some, someone had a book, I think it was Jack Chick, had some information about the Jesuits actually being, that the Catholic Church actually founded Islam. There's an interesting parallel because they have in the Catholic Church the Lady of Fatima or Fatima, and then of course we know Muhammad's daughter was named Fatima.
Yeah, and they both have one has rosary beads.
Yeah.
I can't remember what they call the beads in Islam, but they've got beads.
Yeah, it's the same thing, yeah. It's the same kind of a prayer bead that they use, but it's an interesting
And I can
see
that. I mean, that's pretty tame to have prayer beads. It's one thing to have beads. It's another thing to actually remove their heads.
Yeah. Well, it was all done, even the Crusades, the time of the Crusades, and this is before the Jesuits, but they were trying to capture, the Catholic Church has always wanted Jerusalem. They would love to have their headquarters there. They didn't even recognize, and I don't know if they still don't recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel.
No, in fact, I probably was guilty of thinking this myself, that what a noble cause, the Crusades, to go down there and rescue Jerusalem for Jesus and give the land back to the Jews. Right?
Well, they weren't going to do that. They wanted it for themselves because they've always wanted to prove that the Catholic Church is the one true church and there's no other churches. Now, being raised Catholic myself, we always thought people that were Protestants.
And the idea of Augustine, in his writing The City of God, that is probably his famous... If it's the anchor of his theology when it comes to, if you would, kingdom now theology.
Yeah.
And the city of God, even if it were Jerusalem, it's the city, it's Jerusalem of the Roman Catholic Church. It's the land, the everything that's there is going to be the Roman Catholic Church possession. But as a whole, though, the city of God is really, in more of a spiritual, transparent sense, it's speaking of the whole earth, the church of the whole earth, the Roman Empire, the Roman Catholic Church. The city of God is really the Roman Catholic Church with its arms around the earth, as a kingdom now theology. So I always ask the question, so if it's the kingdom now, what... Does the Pope step down and resign once Christ returns, or what job does he have then?
I don't know, but if anyone's ever been to Rome, I have. I've seen St. Peter's. I've seen all the riches, the artwork, the massive structure there. And it's an interesting parallel because they built St. Peter's in Rome by selling indulgences, which... In other words, selling miracles and promising people that if they would give a certain amount of money to the church, they could buy their loved ones out of purgatory after they died. They could pray for them and continue to pray for them give money, and they still do it. You can still give money to get people out of purgatory.
Well, it also takes a lot of money to finance a genocide, extermination of a race. As the Nazis found out, I saw a documentary on that, and they can't just decide they're going to do this. Just incredible untold amount of money had to go into setting up the whole process by which they could go through the extermination and build the camps and the transportation and everything that had to go into it. And so it cost a lot of – the Crusades cost a lot of money. They were always raising money in order to do another Crusade, right?
Well, they're very good at it. But you can see the parallel today with the Word of Faith movement and the prosperity gospel, and especially if you watch what they call Christian television and how they do their fundraising. They basically do the same thing, is they sell miracles. For a certain amount of money, you can buy a miracle. And so they're getting richer and richer and richer. And it's the same thing with the Catholic Church, is that they know that this kind of thing, selling salvation, selling miracles, is very profitable. So that's how they built St. Peter's. That's how they fund their wars.
Well, I went I was there in, what years were you there, Susan, in Rome?
In the 70s. In the '70s.
Yeah. I was there in 1971, I believe. My folks came from over to visit me when I was stationed in Würzburg, Germany.
Okay.
And then we drove down. I met them at the airport in Germany, and then we rented a car and drove down all the way through Rome and went to the Isle of Capri, where Nero threw Christians off the cliffs.
Yeah.
Visited Circus Maximus. It really doesn't exist now, but where it was, and the Colosseum,
yeah.
of course, and Paul's, where Paul was imprisoned. We saw that. And then, of course, the Vatican. And what struck me, besides the dead popes that are in there, that they're mummified, was the miles.
That's odd, isn't it? Seeing
yes.
dead, seeing skeletons in glass coffins with golden vestments.
Yes. But the thing that I went away the most with when seeing up there, the coving, I guess that's what they call it around the ceiling, where this ornate, that's like sometimes, I don't know, it's a foot or two wide, and that at an angle right near the edge where you get up toward the ceiling. Well, that was all gold.
Yeah.
Inlay and covered with gold for miles and miles of aisles.
Yeah, well, also all the chalices that they use with they put their communion in are usually gold with precious stones. And so, yes, they're very, very wealthy. It always makes me laugh when I hear the Pope talking about people being so materialistic.
Well,
there
means to redistribute wealth. As the present, the Pope from Poland, John Paul, that's passed away now, he was working with the communists to basically figure out a way to make religion work to help redistribute the wealth. And the present Pope is still talking about that. And,
sure.
And of course, we have Obama that's doing that.
Yeah.
That's socialism. So I find it just incredibly paradoxical to see miles and miles of gold and then telling the rest of us who don't have miles and miles of gold that we need to give up what we have.
Yeah, we need to stop being so materialistic. I'm like, wow, that is the ultimate, one of the most ultimate forms of deception is, here's a man that lives in a 1,000-room palace, has butlers and maids and golden clothing and drinks out of a pure gold cup encrusted with jewels. And yet, people believe what they're saying. They worship this man. They worship this so-called church. They would kill. Some of them would actually kill for Mary and for their church. So
now, Mary was not as exalted in the Jesuit. I'm trying to remember when she was raised. Maybe you remember, because for a long time she was not held in as high regard. And when it was the Immaculate, I call it the Immaculate Deception, that doctrine was introduced. That was long before the Jesuit order, wasn't it? Or was
I'm not sure, but I for people that don't know, the Immaculate Conception, that Mary herself was born without sin. They're talking about the Mary, the woman that mothered Jesus. Of course, we know God does not have a mother. Jesus always was and he always will be. So he was born of a woman, but God does not have a mother. So they call her the Mother of God, and they say that Mary was born without sin, and then she gave birth to Jesus, and even though she was married to Joseph, they never had relations, and they never had any children. She's the perpetual virgin.
Yeah, they have to completely corrupt the New Testament scriptures that talk about Jesus' brothers in order to twist that into that reality. I have the note here in December 1854 was when Pope Pius IX made it an official doctrine, the Immaculate Conception. So that would be about 300 years after Jesuit, Ignatius Loyola launched that. So that was not a major component of what he did. Though it's certainly it's gotten momentum till today, and of course you're going to have to ask the question too that when Christ returns, what role will Mary have in the Roman Catholic view of the city of God on the earth? That's another question that's legitimate to ask, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, of course, in Revelation it does talk about a woman that stands on. Now, we did have a statue when I was in Catholic school. We had a statue of Mary, and she was standing on the world, and she had stars on her head. And it kind of reminds me of that woman the Book of Revelation talks about.
Right. But you know that they sort of misappropriated who that woman is.
They did.
It's not only fuzzy math, but we have fuzzy definitions. It depends on the definition of is.
Yeah, exactly. Because we even had statues of Michael the Archangel, and he had the sword in his hand, and he was also standing on the globe, and he was going to go out and fight for the one true faith.
And I'd always thought, too, that the Jesuits were basically, or the military consisted of just the Swiss Guard that defends the Pope. That was pretty naive of me to think that.
Well, most people don't really know who the Jesuits are, but it's actually a military organization that they work for the Pope. They defend, they're supposedly defenders of the faith. And they did murder people. I don't know if they still do it, but they did murder people.
Since you wanted to do this interview, this subject, I wrote some people that I knew that were experts in Roman Catholicism and the Jesuits, and they everyone that I wrote it said that there's nothing that's changed regarding that oath. So that oath would be a current oath then. Now, how it looks to the general public is maybe quite something else. They've gotten masterful at how they can disguise things. And if it, in
yes,
fact,
they're masterful at that deception.
If you're gonna go murder somebody, you want it to be a secret. You don't tell everybody this is what you're up to. Do you?
No, that's very, very true. That's very, very true.
The biggest legitimate question is, are they any danger today? When I did that documentary with Richard Bennett, we didn't talk so much about that. What we talked about is how much of the mysticism had been contaminating and permeating the evangelical and conservative church. And they have these things called disciplines that you practice in contemplative prayer, etc.
Yeah.
And these experiences that you need, and these disciplines that you're supposed to do in order to get more spiritual. That was in great part launched by Loyal himself. So it's kind of a extreme irony that here you have this guy going out and just basically imagine, you know, of course Himmler had a spiritual side to him too, but it was a paganism spiritual side.
It's the same thing. I mean, Catholicism is paganism.
Well, there's another great conversation. I totally agree, but I'm thinking pagan as in the stuff that comes out of Norway, and the thing that there's a population that's under the earth, and
oh yeah,
some real bizarre stuff out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, very bizarre. Yeah.
But these one of these disciplines that you don't hear about. You hear the Jesuits being praised. You hear Loyola being praised by people like Leonard Sweet. And believe it or not, Rick Warren promotes him. And then you have Richard Foster, who brought single-handedly this whole mysticism into the conservative church. And he's a Quaker. But he brought these disciplines in the church. And little known is it, if you start looking at what are some of these disciplines, some of them seem tame enough, but one of them is levitating.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, do you hear about that very much in order to properly mark Loyola? Just on based on that doctrine alone, forget if he ever killed anybody, that doctrine alone is an abomination in the Bible. So
yes.
Why are
talking
we...
Talking to the dead... Praying to the dead, that's another one the Catholics are famous for, is praying to dead people.
Excellent point. And it's not. And look what happened to Saul.
Yes.
When he thought that was a good idea.
Yes.
Died in battle with his son. Of course, his son probably was innocent, but I guess the Lord decided that he needed to go too. This is what we have, not 100 years ago, 500 years ago. What has happened is the emerging church has dusted off these old desert fathers that go even earlier than the Jesuit order and the Roman Catholicism, going back into Egypt. That's in the first few hundred years after Christ was on the earth. This mysticism that was going on and was already introduced. And so along come the modern evangelicals and said, you know what, we really need to dust off these dudes.
Yeah.
They did some wonderful things that we have just missed out on for the last thousand or longer years. And we need to start bringing them into the church.
Yeah, bring it back. But it goes to the whole one-world church, eventually this whole one-world Antichrist church. And we're seeing it being birthed.
And it has to come about. We're not going to stop it, Susan.
No.
I mean, I'd sort of love to.
Yeah.
Our job, more or less, is just to warn the remnant and those that would be the remnant, equip those, and then bring balm of Gilead to those that have been bludgeoned by this whole movement. And or worse, they weren't going along with it in their church, so they're considered a resistor.
Yes.
And, of course, a fundamentalist Christian is the reason Rick Warren, one of the reasons he probably says that we're enemies of the 21st century, is because... We would not go along with all of this mysticism, these practices. And so we're in the way, and what do you do with those people? You remove them. Now, in all fairness, Rick Warren is not out going and holding inquisition and trials and torture chambers and stuff. But a little leaven leaveneth the lump, and if you bring in ideas that... And there's no disclaimer about how horrific the practices of these people like the Jesuits. They just zone in on certain things that they did that they thought these spiritual practices make you more spiritual and introduce them into the church, that somehow the Protestant church now is going to be a better and improved version. We're going to bring in all of these things. So this leaven, just a little of the lump, but the whole lump eventually if it's not purged. So how were you then rescued, Susan, from being smitten, if not enslaved by the bondage of Roman Catholicism yourself?
Well, I was fortunate that as a young child and being in a school there, until eighth grade, but I saw that when they told us that the priest represented God on earth, that he was actually God's representative on earth, and the priests were doing things they weren't supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
The nuns were doing things they weren't supposed to be doing. So at 12 years old, I realized these people are a bunch of hypocrites. Don't tell me that this man represents God, and then they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing to children.
I don't know if she didn't, for some reason, want to come on your show. It's the first time I've ever got a guest where you didn't want to be on your show. But Anne Barnhart is in fact Roman Catholic, and she is so airtight, solid about what's going on in Islam, the pedophilia, et cetera, by the imams all over the world, and how rampant it is. It's just not isolated. That's how they got one of the terrorists, is they caught him in a boys' club. Our own, I don't know if the CIA or whoever, how they got him. But she has all that documentation. And of course, all these pages she ripped and burned out of the Quran on YouTube, she actually read where all of this pedophilia and this abuse of women, this stuff is actually authorized in the Quran. She'd read it, and then she'd burn the page. But she was talking about how rampant this is both in the United Nations as well as in the Roman Catholic Church. But once again, pedophilia and Roman Catholic priests are almost synonyms, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's not news either.
No, it wasn't news. It was the fact that they tried to cover it up. And so basically I became an agnostic or an atheist at a very young age because I didn't want anything to do with God. Don't tell me that these people represent God and then they behave like this. That's a poor representation of God, but I had to stay in the school until I was in eighth grade, and then I got out. I decided I wasn't going to a Catholic high school. I was finished with it, so... But it is no one, and that's the thing I think that can turn people off to God, and it shouldn't really, because we shouldn't be looking at human beings anyway. We have to always keep our eyes on Jesus, because human beings can do anything.
The Protestant history is riddled with. If not apostasy, some horrific things done in the name of Jesus too.
Yeah.
The difference is that with Islam, it's their doctrine. It's written in their own scriptures. It's not just backslidden Muslims that believe this. It's they're following Bin Laden. People thought that he was just whacked up and he invented something that was twisting of the Quran and the Hadith, etc. But in fact, he was just adhering to them,
right?
And the same with this Jesuit thing is that they're just adhering to their oath.
Yes,
and
they
so
adhere to their oath
when they do it.
Yeah, they really believe that they're defending the faith. They're defending the church. They have to defend the doctrines of the church. That they have to defend the Pope, and of course. The Catholics believe that the Pope is infallible, and what that means is that he doesn't make any mistakes. But we know that there's only been one person that ever walked the earth that didn't make mistakes, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no human being that doesn't make a mistake. So it's kind of a very, very strange religion, the Catholic Church and the secret societies. But they've managed, and they've been very, very effective with their brainwashing. And they've managed to brainwash over 1 billion people into joining this organization.
Well, if they don't join, most of them are just born into it.
Yeah, they're born into it, yeah. Because you're baptized when you're a baby, and then because you're baptized... You believe that you're saved, but of course you never really believe you're saved because you don't. I never thought I would be good enough to go to heaven. I didn't know anything about really being born again, so I never figured I would make heaven, especially if I died without confessing my sins to a priest, because they told you, and I always lived in fear of this as a child, that I couldn't get to the priest in time. What if I was dying and I couldn't get to the priest to confess my sins? I would wind up in hell.
Well, that reminds me of the early Christians that were worried they would go to hell if they weren't baptized. So people were being martyred left and right, and they were worried that if somebody didn't get baptized, they would baptize for the dead.
Well, we were told to do that. We were told that we should baptize, if we happened to be around someone that wasn't a Catholic and they died, that we should baptize them. So then they would be a Catholic and they would have a chance of going to heaven. But it was
only a chance, because they would still have to spend a long time in
you don't purgatory. Ever think you're ever you don't ever think you're going to heaven when you're a Catholic, because you just there's no way that you can perform enough good works to get there. And so you basically believe that when you die you might get to purgatory. You won't go to hell unless you commit a mortal sin. And at one time in the Catholic Church, if you did not go to church on Sunday, it was a mortal sin, which meant there's a mortal sin and there's a venial sin in the Catholic Church. And if you committed a mortal sin, you were going to hell. There was you couldn't get out of it. And
couldn't
if
you
did
do,
not
seven Hail Marys, and if you did a mortal, is there some kind of a thing you can get out of it?
You'd have to go to the priest, because you couldn't confess your sins to God yourself. You had to always go to the priest for confession and to receive absolution. It's a sacrament in the Catholic Church.
When Jesus says, how do we pray? Pray to the Father. So how the Roman Catholic Church gets around that is they changed the priest to be the Father.
They did, and they actually call him Father. So you believe that this man is Christ's representative, and you can't do anything on your own. You have to do everything through the priest. And it's such bondage. I mean, imagine a child being so frightened that there was ice and snow on the ground on a Sunday, and there was no way that you could get to church, and living with the reality that you just committed a mortal sin, and if you didn't get to confession before you died, you were going to hell.
Oh,
that's how they got people into church, and that they still do that. That's how they get them into church.
So they don't come to hear a great sermon?
No. In fact, when I went to church, the preaching was in a foreign language, so I didn't even know what they were talking about.
Oh, that's Latin, you mean?
Pardon?
Well, the way I like to put it is that it isn't just the Latin language that's dead. It's the church that's invoking it.
Imagine going to church and you don't even know what they're talking about. That's how effective the brainwashing was. Never mind crack a Bible. Maybe he would read one scripture, the priest would, and then he would talk about something. But there was we never ever read the Bible in Catholic school. Never.
Karen and I both have students and friends, for that matter, we're constantly being told about or invited with great enthusiasm that their son or Susie or Peter, that is now 7 or 8 years old, are going for their first communion. And so we ask the question, so what does it mean to you? And the answer we get back, we get lots of presents. And so we respond with, well, here's what it means biblically, is that we don't take communion at all, because you talk about being dead. Paul himself, the apostle, said if they take it unworthily, they some of people died, meaning they fell asleep. But he didn't mean they just fell asleep. They actually died for not properly discerning the elements. So if you're taking communion and you're not really a genuine born again believer, then you're not rightly dividing the elements or discerning the elements, I mean. And so I haven't seen anybody die lately that did that, but Paul described it happening. So that's how serious a matter it is. So it's hard for us to get up for and encouraged and excited for these kids taking communion when they're not believers.
No, you're not a believer. No, you're not a believer. And as a matter of fact, you believe when you're taking that communion that you're receiving Jesus, because you actually believe Jesus lives in the wafer. And I don't know if you've been in a Catholic church, but in the Catholic church they have an altar, and on the top of the altar is a tabernacle, and inside the tabernacle lives Jesus in a golden chalice. They keep the bread and wine, or they keep a wafer in there, and you actually believe, and then there's a light that's on constantly, and you actually believe that when you go in, you bow down. You always bow down when you went into a Catholic church. You bow down to the tabernacle because you believe that that's where Jesus lived.
So we've been doing a through-the-year study of the Bible, and right now we're in John, and Jesus goes into great detail about that he's going to return to the Father with the glory he had before the foundation. He says, I will not always be with you. And he makes it really clear that he's actually leaving the earth. And
yeah.
He makes it really clear when he's coming back.
Yeah,
so,
well, lives there.
Not in between, right? So if that's true, how is it possible for even one time to Jesus be present in the wafer?
Yeah. Yeah. But the deception, and now imagine that they have this military organization, the Jesuits, and back in the 1500s or the 1600s, if you and I were having this conversation, we would probably be arrested. We would have been arrested, and we would have probably been put to death for having this conversation.
They didn't have radio then, but it would have been our last broadcast.
Yeah, it would have been the last broadcast. If there's a people that are listening, and if you've ever been to Europe, you notice that almost in every little hamlet and every little village, there's a huge church. It was the center of life there at one time, was the Catholic Church. And you had to go. If you didn't go, you were put on a list, and you might have gone missing. So,
You might disappear. You mean?
Yeah, you might disappear because they forced Jewish people to convert. I mean, they even did that during World War II, So when you were talking with your friends about the Jesuits, what did they say about some of the things that they might be doing today?
Well, that was something that Paul was going to discuss because he did some more recent research on some of the current people that left that were Jesuits and telling
what
the Jesuits were. And so what we should maybe do is have a part two down the road and get some more details on the more current horrific things that are currently going on there. So if you don't mind, I will bow out on that until we have either Paul or one of my other friends, colleagues, or even for that matter, Richard Pennant, maybe you come on and tell you
about. Yeah, well, that would be great.
I can tell you this, though, that I have on my document that I haven't published yet on Leonard Sweet the authorities that have all of the hundreds of millions of people that have been killed in Roman Catholicism. Of course, a lot of them were not killed by Jesuits. They were just the order that was strictly in charge, primarily of the Inquisition and dealing with heretics. Nevertheless, it's clear through a number of the sources here that you can go to online that will identify the actual the figures and where they were killed and around the world and in what years and things. But a lot of what I did that was actually going on currently, though, was the Jesuits being promoted in Roman Catholic mystics in evangelical Christianity through Rick Warren, Emerging Church, and Brian McLaren, et cetera, and Leonard Sweet, of course. And so I wrote a 77-page document completely demolishing much of this and what Leonard Sweet was promoting, who also was, by the way, an unholy alliance with Rick Warren, their major major collaborators. But so what I did is just simply, not just me, but other people have done this, tracking down what was believed by some of the leaders that are dead now, but they were promoted currently by people like Leonard Sweet. Like, he promotes a Jesuit named Chardin, Chardin was an evolutionist, and he writes, "Evolution is the general postulate to which all theories, hypotheses, all systems must henceforth bow, and which they must satisfy in order to be thinkable and true." So that's just one of the Roman Catholic Jesuit priests that was touted by Leonard Sweet. Paul was going to go and talk to you a little bit more about the actual horrific, you know, the annihilation and killing of by this order. What I did was just simply identify all of the false teachings. Although,
yeah,
I do have links in here to the and films that you can go to and you can read the actual breakdown. You would think that you're talking about the Gestapo and the Third Reich, where they
break
all the camps and everything, Treblinka, these things. Well, these films document what the Jesuits and the Roman Catholic Church were doing in various parts of the world and throughout history.
Oh, so where can they find these films?
Well, I could say you could find it on my article. Problem is, I've been threatening to release this. And Leonard Sweet, by the way, is a professor at Drew University in New Jersey, which is only, you know, miles from where we live. And I went over and looked what they were promoting. They're very ecumenical over there. A little sidebar. I was just looking through it just to see anybody else that was promoted, that other Jesuits that are subsequent to, and of course Richard Bennett wrote extensively on it, and his article, he talks about the torture chambers of the Inquisition lasted 605 years. They're beginning under Pope Innocent III in 1203 until Inquisition final dissolution in Spain and Portugal in 1808. That was the end of the Inquisition, but it was not the end of people being killed. In the name of Roman Catholicism. I'm just looking real quickly to find if I find any other examples. Jesuit philosopher, religion dogmatist Karl Rahner. The Christian of tomorrow will be a mystic, one who has experienced something, or he will be nothing. Again, touted by Leonard Sweet. These are the people that are the pillars of the faith leading Christianity into the 21st century. Do you feel comfortable, Susan?
No, not at all. And it sounds like they're leading people back into the Dark Ages. That's what it sounds like to me. But we've seen it over the years, even on what they call Christian television. They have Catholic priests on. They have Jesuits on. They have the Catholic Mass on some of these networks, and they don't think anything about it. They try to tell you it's a Christian church, but we're going to do another program. We were hoping to have Paul come on today, and we'll hope to get him back on in the next few weeks. And you can also go to, if you wanted to look at, there's a book on Jack Chick's website, and it's C-H-I-C-K, Jack Chick, and there's a book called The Prophet, and it talks about the how the Catholic Church actually was associated with Muhammad and the founding of Islam. So it's interesting. I mean, it's interesting to put all these things together. And there's also a book by a priest called 50 Years in the Church of Rome, a man named Chiniqui, I don't know exactly how to pronounce his name, but James was talking about Richard Bennett, and Richard Bennett was a Catholic priest for many years, and then he got out for over 20 years. So he has a website. Is it Berean Beacon.
Beacon.
Yeah, Berean Beacon. If some people want to go and listen to him, got some audio, and he's got some great articles there. So you can really learn from something from somebody that was actually in the organization for many, many years, and Jesus Christ miraculously delivered him from that. But anyway, James, I want to thank you very much for coming on today. And we and Paul, if you're listening, we missed you.
Yep, and, miss you, brother. Need you.
Yeah, we needed you today.
And there's a couple real quick sites you can go to in cuttingedge.org. Look for Behind the Purple Curtain by Montana. There's another. You can go to Richard Bennett, of course, where he talks about the more than 50 million people killed in Roman Catholicism.
Yes.
So there's some other sites. You can even just do your own Google search. And Roman Catholic atrocities in the 20th and 21st centuries. Just look that up on Google, and it'll bring up the list and some documentation. So how's that for starters, Susan?
Well, that's a good start, because the Bible says to, you know, don't be deceived. And don't deceive yourself with these false religious systems that claim to know Jesus Christ. They talk about Jesus, but what Jesus are they talking about? They're not talking about the Jesus of the Bible. So it's up to everybody to get to know Jesus Christ, the real Jesus, in a personal way, and to have a relationship with him.
Amen. The greatest deception on the earth, both today and throughout history, it isn't another religion that doesn't have Jesus' name in it, but it's religions that do have Jesus' name in it.
Yeah.
Islam and Roman Catholicism, which are basically two legs off the same Babylonian harlot.
Yeah.
Revelation.
That's a good way to put it. That's a good way to put it. But anyway, so we want to thank
you. Keep up the good work, Susan, and we'll hound Paul. We'll get something more on this. People want more current documentation on this.
Yeah. Okay.
And that maybe Paul will come back.
Yeah, I hope so. I really do. I really hope so.
It's always a sheer joy being on doing a show with you that just flows like a river.
Yeah. It does. It's a lot of fun, and I'm blessed to be able to do this and to have great guests, great brothers and sisters that come on and help me. So I want to thank you so much, James. And don't forget to go to James' website, perfectpeaceplan.com, and Rock. What's that?
Rock Salt Publishing, but you just look that up, and that'll take you to the other website. We're more articles.
Okay. And his books, and his making merch, his new DVD, that's great, making merchandise of men's souls.
Of men's souls, yes.
Yeah. And we need this information. We really need people that can teach and preach and give you valuable information to help you stay close to the Lord Jesus Christ. But all right, James, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And we'll be talking soon, okay?
Sounds great. God bless you, dear sister.
Okay, God bless you. I want to thank everybody for listening today and for tuning in. Come back next week at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, the most important thing you can do today is to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Ask him to give you a new life, and you can be born again. Get out your Bible and read the third chapter of John. Jesus said that you're first born of your mother, but then you must be born of the Spirit of God. And God will open up the eyes of your understanding, and he'll give you peace and joy that no man can give you. So give your life to Jesus today. He loves you. He really does. God bless you.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.